Hi, my name is David Lazar, and today I'm going to present Karaoke, distributed private messaging immune to passive traffic analysis. Let's start with a motivating example. Here we have several government employees, and one of them, Bob, wants to report a crime that the government is doing to the journalist. However, if his boss sees him communicating with the journalist, then he might be fired, and then he wouldn't be able to report future crimes. The goal of this work is metadata private text messaging. We want to allow Bob to communicate with the journalist without revealing who he's talking to. And this is in contrast to messaging apps like Signal and WhatsApp that provide end-to-end encryption but not metadata privacy. The threat model is a global adversary. This adversary watches the network, including all the links from the users and the links inside the system, and also compromises some of the servers in the system. So can we prevent this powerful adversary from learning who Bob is communicating with? There are several prior approaches to this problem with varying levels of privacy. On the one end, we have Tor, which provides no privacy guarantees against the global adversary. And this is because it's prone to traffic analysis attacks. On the other end of the spectrum, we have systems like Pung and Descent, which provide cryptographic privacy against this adversary. And this is the best form of privacy that the user could hope for. The adversary learns nothing from observing this system. And in the middle of the spectrum, we have systems like Vuvuzela and Stadium, which provide a slightly weaker notion of privacy known as differential privacy. With current systems, though, there is a trade-off between privacy and scalability. For example, although Pung and Descent provide strong privacy, they don't scale to many users. But scalability is critical for security. A chat system that's only used by whistleblowers and journalists doesn't make much sense. In this case, it would be immediately obvious to the adversary that Bob is the whistleblower if he connects to this kind of system. Instead, the system must scale to everyone, so it isn't suspicious when Bob connects to the system. The contribution of this work is Karaoke, a distributed metadata private messaging system that scales to more users. It provides cryptographic privacy against passive attackers, and differential privacy against active attackers. Using our techniques, Karaoke is able to achieve 8 seconds of end-to-end latency with 4 million users. This is 5 to 11 times faster than prior work. One of Karaoke's key insights is to treat passive attackers and active attackers separately. This insight is what enables Karaoke to achieve higher performance compared to prior work. The rest of this talk focuses on how we achieve cryptographic privacy against passive attackers. Our paper shows how we deal with active attackers. All right, so here's our adversary again. It's the global passive adversary that watches the entire network and compromises some of the servers that run the system. The adversary can make observations to try and learn who is talking to whom at several points in the system. The inputs to the system, the network links and server state that make up the system, and the outputs from the system. For the purpose of organizing this talk, I'll describe how Karaoke protects each of these separately. Of course, the adversary can actually observe all three of these things at the same time. So let's start by looking at how Karaoke protects the inputs. We protect the inputs by having users send messages in rounds. Every round, each user sends a message to the system, regardless of whether they're in a conversation or not. All messages are the same size. So the adversary can't tell who is in a conversation because everyone is sending messages all the time. Next, let's look at how Karaoke protects the outputs. To protect the outputs, Karaoke uses dead drops, which is an idea we borrow from Vuvuzela. A dead drop is a designated location to exchange messages on some server. The dead drops are named by pseudo-random ID, so they reveal nothing about the users that access them. When two users access the same dead drop, their messages are exchanged. Idle users result in a dead drop with one access. So here on the right-hand side of the slide, we see 4 dead drops. The top and bottom dead drops each have 2 accesses, and the middle dead drops have 1 access. And users agree on which dead drops to use in every round out of band. But dead drops alone are insufficient for privacy. Here we have 2 cases with just 2 users in the system, Alice and Bob. On the left-hand side of the slide, Alice and Bob are chatting, and they're not chatting on the right-hand side. And on the left, where they are chatting, the adversary can clearly tell that they're chatting because there's just one dead drop with two axes. Similarly, on the right, the adversary can see that they're not chatting because there's two dead drops with a single axis each. So to understand the system's privacy going forward, we only need to consider the case with just two users in the system. So Vuvuzela's solution to this problem was to generate dummy dead drop axes to obfuscate what the users were really doing. But this approach only provides differential privacy. No single round reveals much to the adversary about what's going on, but after many rounds of observation, the adversary might be able to observe a pattern. Karaoke's solution is even simpler. In Karaoke, we have each user always send two messages to the system in every round. So this way, every dead drop always has two axes. In the case where Alice and Bob are chatting, Alice and Bob agree on two dead drops for exchanging two messages. In the case where they're not chatting, Alice and Bob exchange two messages with themselves. This approach provides cryptographic privacy. In both cases, the adversary observes two dead drops with two axes each. So to recap, we've protected the inputs using cover traffic and rounds. We've also protected the outputs using dead drops that always have two axes. So what does Karaoke actually do to disconnect the users from which dead drops they're accessing? So we're going to look at that next. Karaoke's design is based on mixnets. So let's quickly review what a mixnet is before we go any deeper into Karaoke's design. A mixnet is a network of servers organized in a chain, as shown here. Users use onion encryption to force their messages to travel down this chain. When the first server receives the onions, it removes a layer of encryption, shuffles the two messages, and sends them on to the next server. The second server does the same thing and hands them off to the last server. The last server hosts the dead drops and does the messages exchanges, and then the whole process is repeated in reverse to give the messages back to the users. The guarantee provided by this mixnet construction is that if one of these servers in the chain is honest, then the adversary can't tell which users accessed which dead drops. This is because the honest server doesn't reveal its permutation to the adversary, so the adversary can't tell which message ended up where. One problem with this simple mixnet design is that every message has to pass through every server, and this makes it hard to scale the system. Instead, Karaoke uses a distributed mixnet design, where each server processes only a subset of the user's messages. In a distributed mixnet, users pick random paths through the pool of servers. Here, Alice and Bob are communicating through four hops in the network. As in the mixnet from before, users onion encrypt their messages to force their messages down a particular path through the network. At each hop, the servers remove a layer of encryption, shuffle the messages, and send the results to the next server on the hop. Finally, the message arrives at the last hop, and the dead drops are now sharded across all of the servers on the last hop. The last hop takes the messages, performs the dead drop swaps, and then sends them back to the users down the same paths in reverse. The major challenge with this distributed mixnet design is that the adversary can see Alice's and Bob's paths through the network. As a result, the adversary can conclude that they are communicating if their paths always meet up at the last hop. Also, there are no other users in the system that can confuse the adversary about what is happening. Right now, we want to provide these privacy guarantees, even if it's just Alice and Bob in the system. But Karaoke's message doubling plan that we saw earlier gives us some hope at solving this problem. Recall that Karaoke's dead drops require that users actually pick two dead drops and send two messages each in every round. Let's focus in on the last hop to see how we can take advantage of this. Here are the two cases that the adversary can observe on the last hop. If Alice and Bob are chatting, then two servers will each get one message from Alice and one from Bob, as shown on the left. If they are not chatting, one server will get two messages from Alice, and another server will get two messages from Bob, as shown on the right. The goal is to make these cases indistinguishable so that the rest of the links in the network don't matter. To achieve this goal, we use a technique called message tangling. A tangled message is one where the adversary can't tell where it came from. We use striped arrows to indicate tangled messages. The orange and purple striped arrow shown here is a message that could be from Alice or from Bob. It's indistinguishable to the adversary. Thus, to protect messages on the last hop, it suffices to tangle one of Alice's and one of Bob's messages. One way to achieve tangling is using an honest server, indicated here with a box that has a green background. An honest server tangles two incoming messages because it shuffles the messages and hides the order from the adversary. The problem would be solved if one of Alice's and one of Bob's messages intersected at an honest server. Unfortunately, with many servers in the system, it's unlikely that Alice's and Bob's messages will intersect at the same hop, because they're both picking their hops randomly through the network. More likely, Alice and Bob's messages might pass through some honest servers, but never actually intersect at one of them. For example, here, servers 1, 2, 3, and 4 are honest, but Alice's and Bob's messages never meet up at one of these honest servers. Furthermore, let's assume that the paths for their other messages are completely compromised. Let's see how Karaoke manages to tangle the remaining messages from Alice and Bob. To solve the problem, Karaoke servers generate fake messages that can be used for tangling. We call these fake messages noise messages. The new gray arrow going from server 2 to server 3 is a noise message generated by an honest server. Because server 2 is honest, Bob's message and the noise message are now tangled, as indicated by the striped arrows coming out of server 2. However, if the adversary can tell that one of the messages out of server 3 is a noise message, then this doesn't help with anything yet, because Bob's message couldn't have gone to server 3. But suppose there was a noise message going from server 1 to server 4. Alice's message is now also tangled, but with a different noise message. Now all of the messages between servers 1 and 2 and servers 3 and 4 are tangled, as indicated by the striped arrows between them. The adversary can tell that the gray messages or the gray arrows coming out of servers 3 and 4 are noise messages, but he can't actually tell them apart. So for all he knows, the two messages swapped places as they passed through the honest servers. Since the noise messages could have swapped places, that implies that Alice's and Bob's messages could have also have swapped places. Ultimately, this means that Alice's and Bob's messages are now tangled at the last hop, as indicated by the striped arrows coming out of servers 3 and 4. Thus, we've achieved our goal of tangling Alice's and Bob's messages. The shape that we just saw is a bit complicated, but it enables Alice and Bob to get tangled with high probability, even when their messages don't intersect at an honest server. For example, if we assume that 80% of the servers in the network are honest, then 14 hops results in tangling with overwhelming probability. And servers only need to add a small amount of noise messages per outgoing link to ensure this tangling. To summarize, Karaoke uses a distributed mixnet to scalably disconnect users from the dead drops that they access in every round. Due to message doubling, each dead drop always has two accesses in every round. The adversary can observe the links between the servers in the distributed mixnet, but we ensure messages are tangled by the time they reach the last hop so that the links reveal nothing. Altogether, these techniques provide cryptographic privacy against a global passive adversary. But what about a global active adversary? Karaoke provides differential privacy against a global active adversary. It does so by adding additional noise messages to protect against message drops. Due to the message doubling plan that we saw, active attacks in the form of message drops are rare and detectable. so karaoke needs far less noise compared to prior work. We also use bloom filters to ensure that malicious servers don't discard noise in the system. And I encourage you to look at our paper if you want to understand how we defend against active attacks. Our implementation is 4,000 lines of Go code. The major CPU cost in our implementation is onion decryption due to the distributed mixnet. And we configured karaoke to resist 200 active attacks. In our evaluation, we aim to answer the following questions. Does karaoke support a large number of users with good end-to-end latency? How does karaoke's performance compare to prior work? And does karaoke scale? I.e., does karaoke support more users by adding more servers? To answer these questions, we ran several experiments on Amazon EC2 VMs. We used the 36-core C4 8X large VMs for a fair comparison to Vuvuzela and Stadium, and we used the slightly more powerful C5 instances for all other experiments. The instances had 10 gigabit links between them, and we simulated the instances running in different parts of the world by introducing 100 milliseconds of latency between the instances. In this experiment, we ran karaoke using 100 VMs and measured the end-to-end latency as we varied the number of users from 1 to 16 million. The y-axis shows the end-to-end latency for user messages, and the x-axis shows the number of users in the system, ranging from 1 to 16 million. The graph has three lines. The purple line is Stadium, the orange line is Vuvuzela, and the green line is karaoke. The results show that karaoke achieves much better latency than Vuvuzela and Stadium. For example, with 2 million users, karaoke's latency is around 10 seconds versus 55 and 68 seconds for Vuvuzela and Stadium. For this graph, we ran the same experiment as before, except we used the faster C5 instances for karaoke's green line. With the faster instances, karaoke achieves 8 seconds of latency for 4 million users. This is a speed up of 2x compared to the slower instances. This shows that karaoke is CPU bound. In this last experiment, we added more servers and more users to karaoke at the same time while measuring the end-to-end latency. Each time we added a server to the system, we also added 25,000 users. In this graph, the x-axis is the number of servers in the system. The y-axis is still end-to-end latency for user messages. Thus, the rightmost point on the graph corresponds to 5 million users in the system. We can see that the latency remains steady as we add more users and servers, so we conclude that karaoke scales pretty well. In conclusion, karaoke is a distributed metadata private messaging system that scales to more people. It provides cryptographic privacy against passive attackers, and it does so using two techniques, message doubling and message tangling. Our results show that karaoke can achieve 8 seconds of end-to-end latency for 4 million users, which is around 5 to 11 times faster than Vuvuzela and Stadium. Thanks.
Hi, Sebastian Angel from UPenn. What do you mean by handling 200 active attacks? Do you mean you set the privacy budget of differential privacy to handle 200 attacks? And if so, is that per user or total across?
That's per user. So we kind of assume that message drops are rare. We assume that the network is reliable. So we hope that users wouldn't be using this on an unreliable network. The way the system works is that if there is a message drop, the user realizes it, and he can go offline or stop communicating, he should stop communicating, like end sensitive conversations. We support around 200. So we, in order to like prevent the user from using up his privacy budget, we say after a message drop, let's not stop communicating for several hours before we resume communicating.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Hello, John Howell from VMware Research. In the measurements you used, were you assuming 14 network hops because you were trying to protect against 80% compromised servers? Is that the model?
So we assume that 80% of the servers were honest.
Right, 20% compromised.
Yeah.
And you used 14 hops to get these numbers?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Is that a stronger assumption than Vuvuzela and Stadium made?
I think Stadium had a similar assumption. So it's different than Vuvuzela's assumption. So Vuvuzela assumed that just one out of any server in this chain was honest. So this is slightly stronger. But in a distributed mixnet, it's kind of hard to do better.
Sure. Yeah, I was just trying to understand if that was one of the things that you were exchanging to get the better performance.
Well, so I think compared to Stadium, we are able to do things using fewer hops. But like the threat model between Karaoke and Vuvuzela is slightly incomparable.
Thank you.